Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We got there. Thank you. It's good to be with you. It's a great privilege for me to be standing here in this particular church, which we love very much. And we're very encouraged each week when we come and we go away feeling really uplifted. So we love to be here. And I'm very proud and privileged. And thank you, David, for inviting me to preach today, giving you a break, I hope, although you're still working, I notice. But it's good to be with you. I've got the most fantastic passage for you. God gave it to me first, and I'm going to give it to you. It's wonderful. It's the most glorious passage. I think one of the most glorious passages in the whole of Scripture. It is so encouraging. It's Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 to 9 we're going to read. Could read the whole passage, really, but I was concerned about time. Know how I can sometimes go on if I'm not careful. But I don't know what page number it's on, but oh, here we are, 748. But before we read it, may I show you a photograph, a picture of the glorious place where we live. This is Shoreham Beach. Picture of Shoreham Beach. And the sun rising over the waters. And it was about 3 months ago when it almost woke me up, I think. The sky was gloriously orange when I woke up and looked out. I think it even woke me up, although nothing really wakes me up. But I looked out the window and the sky was pure. This doesn't show how glorious it was. And I thought, I've just got to get out there. I've just got to go and see this. It was a great mass of orange cloud and sun's rising, and so I put quickly on my overcoat and I kept my jams on and I rushed out with my camera and I rushed down to the beach to see this thing that had come to pass. It happens every morning, but I miss it most of the time. I was there on the beach, there was about two other people, and the sad thing was that most people missed it. Most people that morning were still in bed. And I would have been had it not been for this, raising me up and getting me out. And God calls us to wake up, preacher. Wake up, man. Wake up, woman. Wake up, church. Wake up, Christian. Arise and shine, for your light has come. So many people miss it. So many people, not the sunrise, but the coming of Christ in Jesus. So many miss it because they're asleep. Do you know him? Have you seen him? Have you felt him? Does his glory rise over you? Well, maybe sometimes you say, perhaps not always, because there's a darkness. Sometimes there's a deep darkness. It's a picture of a sunrise over Shoreham. Glorious sight. A new day. A new day is dawning. A new year is coming. Do you know him? As you step into that new year. Arise. Shine. For your light has come. Our light has come. We have every reason to arise and to shine. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 to 9. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Then the glory of the Lord rises. He is risen above you. Upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Nations will come to your light and to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes. Look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant and your heart your heart will throb and swell with joy. Does your heart throb and swell with joy? In the Lord Jesus Christ has come and rises over you. Well, not all the time, I don't suppose. For there's a darkness, isn't there? Christ is with us. That's what this has all been about, this past Christmas, celebrating that Christ has come. Does your heart throb and swell with joy? The wealth from the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will come cover your land. Your camels of Midian and Ephrah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and maybe frankincense and myrrh. The prophecy here from the prophet Isaiah of the coming of the king. And proclaiming the praises of the Lord, all Kedar's flock will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebroth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar. I will adore my glorious temple. Who are these that fly among the clouds like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your children from afar, rising a new generation. Bringing your children from afar with their silver and their gold to honor of the Lord your God, to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Do you feel endowed with splendor? How have you come this morning? I don't know much about any of you, but this I do know. You have worries as you walk into the new year, I'm sure. Your concerns, not always great big ones, but unsure and uncertain of what's to come. And some people have very big worries and concerns as they step into the new year. I don't know how you've come this morning. Maybe a little concerned about what's going to happen one way or another. Only you know that, you and the Lord. But I tell you this, the Lord is with us. And we step into the darkness, if you like, the unknown, if you like, of a new day and a new dawn and a new year. We can have faith that God will be with us and whatever we're going through. Isn't this wonderful? What a wonderful passage to preach on. Isn't this wonderful? That we can have faith. We can't see it necessarily, but we can know it in our hearts, for God is with us. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, through the prophet Isaiah, God encourages Israel to believe that there is a new day dawning. There is a new year coming. He speaks to a nation in exile with just a few remnants left back in Israel. Yet he says, all will be well. All will be good. This is a vision from Isaiah, a vision of the future, a vision of the future, a prophecy of things to come. Isaiah throws himself into the future and sees a vision of Messiah coming on the winds, coming like a new dawn, rising up, shining for us to follow. A vision of Messiah in the Old Testament through the prophet Isaiah, pouring the light of salvation onto a dark world. Let me just show you one more photo of Shoreham by Sea. Thank you, Ben. Slightly darker. I wanted that to emphasize that there's darkness around. But it seems to me that that sun is shining even brighter in the darkness. And I don't know about you, but I know that in my experience, God shines brightest when I'm at my darkest, when I've been at my deepest. God's light seems to glow even more so than when everything's going well and I seem okay with life. Do you know the light that shines in the darkness? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus Christ, the Savior. Savior from darkness. The light Isaiah speaks of is not from the sun that shines in the sky. The light that Isaiah speaks of is the light of life that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's have a look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. We know it so well we could probably say it without looking at the words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. And that's so true in history. The light of Christ has never been put out. They tried to do it in Russia, in the 40 years of darkness, trying to scrub him out of all the history books and the children's teachings, and tried to do it in China. The light of Christ shining like a little candle, perhaps, in some backstreet house or somewhere fairly safe where they could worship, but the light still shined. And the light still shines. And you can't put it out. It cannot go out. For it's not a candle light. It's not the sun even. It is the Son of God. Jesus is the light of the world. And he offers that light to us. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Coming to know Jesus, I didn't know him till I was 30 years old. How I wished, having known him, how I wished I had known him earlier. I just love our young people in this church. The children are so wonderful. Rudolph the red-nosed dinosaur. It was wonderful on Christmas morning. They're so wonderful. And Josh in the band and the drums. And just brilliant to hear. Just wonderful. I just wish I'd known him when I was younger. I'd have saved myself a lot of trouble, but I come to know him and it's in God's timing, isn't it? It's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. It hasn't made everything wonderful for me in lots of ways. It's been more challenging in lots of ways. It's been harder. It is. God calls us to a high calling. It's not always easy to be a Christian. But it's a wonderful thing to wake up in the morning and know that your light has come. Through the prophets, God sent his word to the people of God to encourage them and to help them, like Isaiah is doing in this passage, through the prophets in the past. But in the end, he needed to send a real person. When my little last child, I got four kids, it was about four or five, I was away on ordination retreat, and I was away for about 3 weeks, and I'd never been away so long, because being a minister, you're at home a lot, and you know, I'm in and out, and I'm always around him, and I collect him from school and all that, preschool. And anyway, I was away for a long time, and my wife told me that he was getting a bit anxious, so I phoned him. And she called him, little four-year-old, daddy's on the phone, come talk to him. He said, he wouldn't come to the phone. And she asked him why. And he said, I don't want his voice, I want him. I know. I got a feeling I might have told you that before. It's one of my stories, which I love dearly, because it reminds me of those wonderful days when the children were so young. But he wanted me, he didn't want my voice. And you see, God gave his voice, gave his word in the Old Testament, and it was wonderfully encouraging, of course. But really, what we really need is the physical person. We really need the person to be with us. And that's what we get in Christ, for he died and was raised again, and he lives forevermore. He didn't die again. He lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. What is your identity, if you like, in Christ? Do you know him? Is he part of what you are? Does he walk with you and talk with you? Is he in you? Arise and shine, for your light has come. Well, I've got three pegs to hang some of your thoughts on, if I may. Firstly, this one. Isaiah's wake-up call challenges us to be what we're called to be. To be, church, what we're called to be. To rise and to shine. That's what we're called to be. Now, when my nephew's daughter was born, we were bathing her. She's about 6 months old. And we were bathing her, and there was my nephew was there, and his little three-year-old son was there. This was the second child. And we were bathing, little Maisie, in the bath, and making her giggle and laugh, as you do. And it was lovely. But then suddenly, the three-year-old spoke up and said to his mum, "Yes, mummy, but what's Maisie for?" Marvellous, isn't it? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. What's Maisie for? And because we laugh too, and I'm glad you laugh, because it's funny. But you know, it's quite a it's quite a question, isn't it? Quite a question. What are we for? What are you for as a Christian? What is this church for as a body of Christ's people? What are we for? What is our purpose in our family? What is our purpose in our neighborhood? What is our purpose in our friendship groups? What is our purpose in raising our children? It's to rise and to shine. We get so down sometimes about stuff as people. Well, I do anyway, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. We get so down. We need to rise. Be strong in the faith. Be strong. I know it's not always easy. I know that only too well. But that is what we're called to be. You know, when we moan and groan and complain, it doesn't sound much like evangelism to me. That doesn't encourage people to want less faith too. When we worry about this, that and the other, which we do, it's natural, we're human beings, but it doesn't say much to those that are listening, watching, hearing. When we're moaning and groaning and we've always got a negative type of attitude. Now, I'm not saying you are like that, but I do have a tendency personally to be slightly negative. Oh, no, it won't happen. Oh, dear, no, I'm not sure, no. Rise and shine, says the prophet Isaiah through the word of God. Rise and shine, for your light has come. Not just rise and shine because you're going to make yourself happy, but because he is with you. Because his light is in you, or in us. What are we called to be? It's a high calling to be a Christian. What is our purpose? To be salt and to be light. To be salt, to bring flavor, to enhance the flavor of life. How are you doing with that? And to be the light shining for folks who walk in darkness or are sad or don't know the way to go. To be salt and light. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, "You're the salt of the earth." He didn't say you should be. He said you are. He said you're the... And this is the greatest thing he called them, the light of the world, because he's the light of the world, isn't he? And he's saying that we should be or they should be like him. You're the salt of the earth, he said to them. What a wonderful thing. Jesus, do you really mean that I'm the salt of the earth? Do you really mean I'm the salt of the earth? Yes, he says to me, you're the salt of the earth. Isn't that great? That will rise me up. Not in some proud sort of arrogant way, I hope. No way, no, because it's not me, it's him, isn't it? But he says that to us. He says, you're the salt of the earth. I love you. You're the light of the world. Not you should be, you are. Isaiah calls Israel to be what they're meant to be. To be what they're meant to be. Are you the light of the world? Are you the salt of the earth? Are we as church? Well, in many, many ways we are. But in some ways we're not. If we're honest with ourselves. How are you doing at judging other people? Looking at folks and thinking, whoa, what are you like with the condemnation that you sometimes bring? What are you like with these things? Unconditional love. What are you like? Unconditional? I don't think so. It's hard. It's hard to be a Christian. I want to be better than I am, don't you? I really do. I really, really do. But I'm not. I'm a human being. I need Jesus to help me with these things. But that's what he calls me to be. And can I just encourage us all to think more about others than we do of ourselves this coming year? Why don't we make that a real resolution? To think more of others than you might think of yourself. We do think of ourselves quite a lot. And we think of others too. But why don't we try to do that, to think more of them than us as we go into this new year? To pay a bill, maybe. To pay a bill. To mow a lawn, perhaps. To run an errand. To tell your spouse that you'd do it all again. To be kind and compassionate and considerate. John Wesley said, and I had to bring one of his in, didn't I? Let's be honest. Let us do all the good we can, by all the means we can, in all the ways we can, in all the places we can, at all the times we can, in all the people we can, to all the people we can, for as long as we can. In Colossians chapter 3, just wanted to mention this, because being called to be what we're meant to be, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Patience. Not good, are you? Not good, really. Could be more patient. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, over these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in a perfect unity. I wonder if you're going to make any of these New Year resolutions this year. Why don't we look at that passage and think, I'm going to be that kind of Christian. It's hard sometimes. How can I be better at this? Well, my second point, I hope, will answer that. How can I be better than this? My second point is this. Isaiah's wake-up call challenges us to remember who lifts us. Remember who's with us. Again, when my little boy was young, I taught him all he knows about football. Everything he knows now about football, and he's a good little footballer, he's 26 now, I taught him. I used to take him over the park every day to a little basketball court, where and we used to kick the ball about. But he wanted so much to put the ball in the basketball net, but never could. It's only tiny, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. He tried and he tried and he tried and he couldn't do it. So I said, right, hold the ball. And I picked him up and I pushed him up and he went, boom, in the net. And he said, Daddy, I've done it, I've done it, I've done it. And I said, you did it? Who did it? He went, I did it, Daddy, I did it. Why don't we remember who lifts us? We think it's all about us. We think we've got to do the achieving. We've got to do the work, if you like. Well, of course we have to participate with the Lord in that. But it's Him, isn't it, that does it. He is with us. It's Him who lifts us. Rise and shine, for your light has come. As Christians, we have all the power we need for all the problems we face. Really? Yes, really. We really do. All the power we need for all the problems we face. Do you know Him? Do you know His power in your life? What is your identity in Him? You can do anything in Him. Wonderful Lord and Savior. We think it's all down to us. So we get exhausted with our church work sometimes. We think it's all about us. We forget that we can do nothing without Him. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He doesn't go to sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God watches over us every moment of every day. Isaiah's wake-up call challenges us to remember who lifts us. Lift your eyes unto the hills. Why do we ever worry? The maker of heaven and earth is with us. We have nothing to fear. And my third peg for you to hang some thoughts on is this. Isaiah's wake-up call challenges us to lift our eyes and look around. To lift our eyes and look about us. We can be so negative sometimes. We can look into ourselves and not find the strength we need. We need to look up. Isaiah 60 and verse 4. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assembled has come to you. Your sons from afar, your daughters carried on your hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. And the riches of the nations will come to you. Look up. Don't look down. I want to encourage you this coming new year to look up more and not look down. Make that a resolution. I'm going to look up and not look down. We don't have to watch where we're going when we're walking, of course, unless we stumble. But we need to trust in the Lord that He will guide us and He will be with us. When we're seeking God's vision, which we are as a church, aren't we, here at Holland Road, we must look up. Not look down. When you're seeking God's vision for your own life, look up and look around. When we're seeking a vision for our church, we must look around and look about us. See what's happening here at Holland Road Baptist Church and be encouraged by what's happening. Nothing is ever perfect. No church is perfect. Don't join it, otherwise you'll ruin it. If you find one, and what is it? Yeah. If you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Yeah, we're all fallen, aren't we? We all make mistakes. But this church is a great church. And I wanted to encourage the leadership here, David especially, and Tim, and, well, be encouraged. You know, it's great. There's so much going on here in terms of outreach. When seeking God's vision, you must look and see what's happening already. And know that all is well. You can always do better, of course, or maybe in a new direction that God might be calling us in. But we have a prayer week to come where we're looking up in prayer. We look down when we pray, don't we? Most of the time. But really, we're looking up. We're looking up as we pray to the Lord. Do be part of that prayer week, please. And pray that your leaders will indeed receive the vision that they are seeking from God for this next year or so. It's good to do both these things when we're seeking vision for ourselves or the church. Is that to look up and look around, look about, and be encouraged. There's a lot of good things going on here. I don't see any kings yet, but I do see nations here in this church, many different nations here. I see the next generation with their Christmas jumpers and their dinosaur noses and all the young people and the youth. Some come from afar like the prodigals and find a good church here to belong to, back from uni, come back and join and be part of. I see people with hearts that throb. I do. Individuals would never even probably know that their hearts are throbbing until you look at them and perhaps encourage them and tell them, you know, you have such a heart for God. You have such a heart for God and His work in this place. I see hearts that are throbbing. I see a joy that swells up in some people in this church. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I don't see many camels from Midian, but I do see wise men. I want to embarrass you, David, but it's great to have you as the pastor here. You have a heart for God, and you're very encouraging and enthusiastic. Your heart throbs when you worship, and when you speak to folks. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, David and the team. Now, I don't see any camels, but I do see wise men and women. Endowed with splendor. Verse 9. Endowed with splendor. So, my message this morning, rise and shine. For your light has come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We're going to sing that soon. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The wonders of His love. Oh, the wonders of His love. And the wonders of His love. I love it. I love that song. I love that hymn. We shine for Him as a church. We shine for Him. Could we put the free back up? Just so that to be what we're meant to be. There's the challenge in this new year. To remember who lifts us and be encouraged by that. And to lift our eyes and look about and see what God is doing already with us. And what He already has in His heart to do through us this coming year. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to hand back to Josh now, and we're going to continue to worship. But I would want to say this. If you don't know Him, then you need to know Him. And there'll be an opportunity at the next part of the service and worship to respond to the message this morning. If you don't know him, or you feel you've lost him, you want to come back to him, however it is you feel, I would urge you to respond to what God may have well been saying to you into your heart this morning. Thank you.